And our Bookmarks guest today takes her role as an Indigenous filmmaker very seriously. But having a Pākehā mum and a Māori dad, being comfortable with Māoriness, wasn't always something that came easily. Kairangi Carter's career in theatre and film goes back about a decade, and her latest work is a one-woman show called Aroha is a Māori, and it's showing at the Basement Theatre in Auckland and runs until Saturday. Hello there.
Hi, how you going?
Good. Oh, we'll have to get her microphone turned up if we can, guys. Shall I talk for a second? It won't take you long, I'm sure. We'll have to switch you around, so we'll sit next to each other in front of this one and try again.
Anyway. Awesome. Hi.
Not convinced, actually, Melita. Shall we play Kahurangi's first song and then we'll come back and meet her after that? So we will go to Van Morrison, Steal My Heart Away, and you can tell us about that after we've played it.
I can hear the sound of violins. I can hear the piper play. And every time the song begins, you just steal my heart away. The journey's longer than I thought, my love. Lots of things get in the way, but every time I think of you, you just steal my heart away. You're like a morning in May, like this. See the heather on the hill. There's a place way up the mountainside where the world keeps standing still. It's like the sunshine after rain. I'll come to be with you. We'll save the day. 'Cause I know when I'm with you again, you'll just steal my heart away.
So good. Van Morrison, Steal My Heart Away. There are times in life where you're so pleased to hear Van Morrison's voice.
Absolutely. It's like a lyrical hug.
Yeah. Tell us about that song. Where did you come across it? Oh, by the way, if you just tune in, Kairangi Carter is in for Bookmarks.
Kia ora, everybody. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jesse.
And Bookmarks, we invite our guests to choose some of their favourite things, including music. So, yeah, tell me about Van Morrison.
Van Morrison, he just has like a way of telling a story with every single song. Mm. Another song that I love is like one where it's literally telling a story about when he used to be a window cleaner, and it's called Cleaning Windows. And it's like he takes you through all the emotions within 3 minutes. So, Yeah, I think if I was stuck on a desert island with a record player and some records, and I could only choose one person to listen to for the rest of my life, it would be Van Morrison.
It'd be a great idea for a music feature, actually. Mm. Pick your favourite records to take to a desert island. So let's talk about your show. Are you feeling really busy at the moment with this having opened up in Auckland?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't really realise how busy I'd be, and I'm very lucky that my sister, who is the director, Amaria Connell, is very time management oriented. So she'll be like, okay, you need to have a little rest and then on to the next and on to the next. She's quite great because time can get away with me quite easily.
So your actual sister?
She is.
Yeah, okay.
And
you are the playwright and the actor?
That's correct. And she's directing, though she did help a lot with the writing and that co-writing sort of process. So I started off with about 10,000 words, and then we spent 4 days in Christchurch Library, beautiful space, culling it down to about 4,000 words, which was really fun. And we had to get a little bit of outside perspective because, of course, we know we're funny. It's a comedy, of course. We thought we were hilarious and we had a lot of fun writing it. We were in fits of laughter, but we were wondering, you know, it's very close. Close to us, it's loosely based on our upbringing as Māori girls growing up on the North Shore and going to a Catholic girls' school there. So, and some of the outrageous comments and things that happened to us growing up. So it's nice to poke fun at those. And if you can't make fun of yourself, you know, who can you make fun of? So it's quite a fun...
Yeah, the show is called Aroha is a Māori. And one of the themes is this question, your words, how Māori do you have to be a Māori?
Absolutely.
And it's sad that we have to ask that question, but...
It is a little bit sad. And we had our opening night last night, and Amaria and I were both a little bit taken aback at just how relatable the character was to so many people.
Really?
Yeah, the comments were brilliant. So we had people who didn't grow up on the North Shore and grew up in predominantly Indigenous-like areas absolutely relate to it. Even going into either a Pākehā world or a Māori world, say it was university and some of the ideas around having to change yourself to fit into a scenario, to fit into a box, to make it easier for other people to understand you. And that's an experience that I have had and that I didn't realise was such a commonality.
Yeah.
And not just for Indigenous people, not just for minorities. Everybody's had those experiences. And something that came out of the show was definitely this feeling that we actually all have the power to be a little bit more culturally conscious, whatever that means. So to you, whatever that means to you. So, for example, if you are in a situation that you don't feel so comfortable, that you don't know the etiquette, a good example is being on a marae. Mm. Often we would like to ask, what do I need to do? Where do I go and get a bit of instruction there? But if you went into a church, you wouldn't walk in and be really loud and, you know, start like,
oh my God, oh my God, where am I meant to sit?
Exactly.
Who's that? That's Jesus, is it?
Oh, wow, look at this artwork. You would be able to actually go into that space, just take a moment, be really respectful, and probably just pick up on cues from other people who are there. So there's a lot of cues that we can take on that aren't necessarily spoken, and I think that's something we can all take away, whatever situation we're in. I'll give you an example. The other day, my son and I, he's 11, and we were at a restaurant having dumplings, delicious. There was only chopsticks on the table, and he wanted to try them, and he was getting frustrated. And then the owner of the restaurant came over to him, and she couldn't speak English, but she was teaching him and showing him, because she saw that he was trying and that he had this respect for the fact there weren't any forks on the table. He wanted to give it a go, and that was enough for her to be like, oh, he's really trying. Mm. And I think that's just a really simple way of explaining what I was, the message that I was just talking about, is we could just all believe in ourselves a bit and believe in our, like, connection as people to go, look at what everyone else is doing. And I think even if you got something a little bit wrong, the fact that you were showing that respect.
Yeah, consciousness and goodwill.
Consciousness and goodwill would take you a long way.
So did you get to meet any of the people that came along to the show last night?
Yes, I did. And it was fun talking to people. In fact, part of the show, the second part of the show, because it is part of the Matariki season, I wanted, and I have brought these themes of, I guess, a self-discovery and cultural consciousness to the show in a very, very comedic way. So it's a little bit ridiculous. Aroha is quite outrageous. She's quite a preppy character and maybe not what you think when you see, when you hear Aroha is a Māori. And the second half of the show is a panel discussion. So we had some panelists up there just talking about themes that in the show that related to them. So we didn't prep them at all. We just said, here you go. What related to you in the show? And things like as simple as someone saying your name correctly or even trying to say your name correctly came up, and feeling like you had to fit into a certain mould for people to understand you. I mean, we're all multifaceted, aren't we, Jesse? We're not just one thing. We've
So tell us about your experiences growing up with that. You, for example, working at a bank.
Yes, I currently work at a bank, and that is an interesting place, especially being an artist. When I first started, I thought, oh, I'll just practice my acting. And there is that side of me. I'm good at maths. I like being in a professional setting, and sometimes being an artist isn't the most consistent pay, so that's always nice.
But simple things like your name tag at the bank.
Exactly, my name tag at the bank. You shorten your name. And so I know that if your name is Rajesh, it goes down to Raj. Mm-hmm. If your name is Kahurangi, it is Kahu. And that's a way of not really giving people a chance to try.
Yeah.
You know, we're not actually believing in the people around, because I really do believe in people, and I believe in our power to educate ourselves and to level up.
Were you keen from day dot to tell Māori stories or Indigenous stories, to create a, it's a real 2019 word, create a dialogue?
Yeah.
You know, to speak out on it, or was it something that came to you later in life? I imagine when you had your own kids, you thought about it pretty hard.
I definitely did. I think when I was growing up on the North Shore, I called myself Kahu, and I have a double-barreled last name, Waratini Thomas, and I preferred Thomas because it made it easier for people to say.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually realise until later on when I looked back how much that I did change myself or even dumb down myself to fit into that mould. And then you're right, when I went to university, I did a little bit of Māori studies, and I didn't quite fit in, I felt. I gave it a dabble, and then I thought, oh, no, that's not for me. And I always was searching for a way to connect with my Māori side, but I found that connection within myself and within my own family and with being in the bush and in the ocean. And then when I had my own children, that's when it became really important to me to learn Māori. Mm. And so my husband and I, who is Pākehā, had big discussions about where they're going to go to preschool, where they're going to go to school, and we decided that they would go to Kohanga Reo and that they would go to Kura Kaupapa, where it is full immersion Māori. And that was a scary place for both of us because it was a world that wasn't familiar to us. And when we went in, you only can speak Māori. So we didn't get a chance to talk. And actually, that's probably where I started to realise that, yeah, I want to tell these stories and I think people can relate to them, especially when you are really honest. Yeah.
It's a question, I haven't quite formulated it, so I'm going to just start talking and let's see how it goes.
Great.
You're a mixed race person.
Yes.
So technically you are, I'm putting this in quotes, half Pākehā and half Māori, but you don't really get the choice to display your Pākehā-ness, your Māori-ness is always on display.
Absolutely.
Not really a question.
No, I understand where you're coming from. You know, I'm somebody who's very proud of both my Pākehā and my Māori heritage. And sometimes that is a fight. And I do think that I am afforded certain privileges because I'm where I'm from and also the way I speak and my education. That may be because I am more palatable to certain people who haven't got a lot of cultural diversity in their lives. And I'm not... and it has been easier for me in some ways to tell my story and to get the message out there. And yes, that is probably one of the reasons why I realised that I wanted to use my art as a storyteller, yeah, to then connect some of those stories from a real personal perspective so that people would relate and see how just because we're from different cultures doesn't mean that we don't have lots of things that we can have in common.
Imagine this is, as you say, a lot of people will relate to it. The name of the play is Aroha, is a Māori, and it's on at Basement Theatre in Auckland. Will you tour it, though?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at touring it. We've weren't sure how it was going to be received, and we've been selling out and we're putting on an extra show, and it's really great.
As you look out, again, a non-formulated question, but as you look out, is it Māori women you're seeing in the audience or a real diverse mix?
You know, we had, we did have a lot of Māori women in the audience. Thank you for your support, ladies. but we had friends, parents from the North Shore, dads. I want to hear those perspectives. Mm-hmm. I want what they had to say last night was beautiful. They get it, you know. They also were very introspective, looking back at how they might have contributed to any of these feelings or just comments that make people feel uncomfortable. And like I said, I believe that we're at this time that people want to try, they want to know more, they want to extend their understanding, and a way that we can do that is through telling stories. And yeah, I'm just, as you can tell, really stoked that people get it.
I'm speaking with Kahurangi Kata, who wrote and stars in Aroha is a Māori. It's part of the Matariki season at the Basement Theatre. And so let's talk about some of your other stuff, Kahurangi. In fact, you've been a few years away from the theatre. Is it nice to be in front of a live crowd again?
Yes. Last night was the first time I'd been in front of a live crowd for a long time.
And did you get laughs? Were you expected to get laughs?
Oh, my gosh. People just were like eating out of the palm of my hand almost, Jesse. Jeez. No, right. It was really cool. Like I said, we knew we were funny, but to have everybody else just hitting the marks, and it was really fun to be back up there in lights. And, yeah, when I had children, I did a few plays when they were under five and it was just really difficult to do. So now they're a bit older coming back in.
Yeah.
I forgot how much I loved it and how much you vibe off the audience and how they bring such a different perspective to the performance.
So you've done all sorts, eh?
Yeah.
Because you had your kids, I mean, they were around when you went to New York, right?
That's correct. So I got to study theatre in New York, which was at the Neighbourhood Playhouse School of Theatre, and my husband is super supportive, and it was an opportunity that you have to be, you can't just apply to the school. There's certain protocol that go around being offered a place, and my kids were super young, and when I look back now, I think, wow, I was really crazy to go and do that. Probably someone told me I couldn't do it, so I was like, yeah, of course I can do it.
But what did your husband say?
He said, you know, if I went to study overseas or away from the family for a few months to better my career, people would say to me, oh, good on you. You're doing it for your family. You're bettering your career. You're bettering yourself. That's an awesome thing to do for the family. And I hadn't actually thought of that. And, yeah, it was really wonderful to have that support. And he and my mum and my siblings looked after the kids really well.
How long was it for?
I was over in New York for 8 weeks. Wow. And so theatre school was all day, every day. And being in New York and going to Broadway shows after class, and it was just being immersed in it. And that's something, as an artist who has a day job and a family, that this week has been really wonderful, just being all immersed.
Living and breathing it.
Living and breathing it, and being back in Auckland, as I don't live here, and just being around it has been really wonderful for me.
You were studying the Meisner technique. What's that?
Ooh, it's an acting technique that was developed by Stanford Meisner, and he was around the times of, like, Stanislavski. Gosh, I'm probably
Stanislavski.
That's
maybe
one. Thank you. There we go, talking about pronouncing names correctly. And I gave it a go. And so I studied Meisner technique with Michael Cicente in Auckland, who was a student of Stanford Meisner in New York, and was in his masterclass, and then was able to go over there. So Meisner is basically a technique where it's about really talking and really listening. So a good way to explain it is, a Meisner actor will never do the same scene exactly the same, because you're working off the other person, and it's not method acting. You walk into a scene and then you just leave everything at the door, and then you're just present. So it's about being present and taking in the situation. So it's something that you can take into life as well. It's really listening to the person in front of you. Of course, if you did that all day, every day, it would be really difficult. So you can choose your moments. But
presumably you've got to know your lines pretty well.
Yes.
Because you've got to walk in and know them and forget about them, right?
That is exactly right. So learning lines is one part that you are taught to do in a certain way. It's very robotic. So you just go over lines very quickly. You learn them, and then you can start working on the scene because you just drop it. So people were asking me last night, it's a one-woman show, how do you remember all your lines? And I was like, oh, I'd learned them a long time ago, because we learn those lines before we actually
start. You can't do the real stuff until they're stuck.
Start working on it. So I liken it to saying something like, well, Mary. And everyone would say, Christmas, because you already know it off a hat. You don't have to think about it.
But in a one-woman show, you don't have any cues, right? You don't have, well, I say that when that person says that. There's no pattern. You're just doing it.
Yeah, so it's definitely about just having that flow. And I think my director, Amaria, was reminding me at the beginning, if you just miss one thing, it's fine. Mm. You know the story. You know the message. And that's something that last night I had to have a little talking to myself. And as an actor, you're always in your head, you're going, oh, I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to think I'm a good actor. And then I was like, I want a message to be conveyed. I want the story to be told. It's not about you, Kahurangi. It's about the story. Mm. And it sounds stupid, but it really did relax me and just reminded me it is about the story and getting the message out there. And it worked, because I didn't forget any of my lines.
All right. Now, for bookmarks, you've supplied a list of some of your favourite things. Ooh. I'm getting the sense that you don't get a lot of reading time.
Yeah, when you asked me that question, I thought, I read this book like 15 years ago by George Orwell. I'll put that one down. It'll make me sound really intelligent and like well-read. And then it was all children's books after that. Because, yeah, the last 12 years, I've probably just read a lot of children's books.
Yeah, I haven't thought about Puka Nui for years.
Oh, Puka Nui is such a great kid's book. It's about a little dude and it's before Pākehā came to New Zealand and he's like going around on these adventures. He loves eating and he loves his friend the moa and he gets himself into lots of trouble because he's a little bit naughty. That's a favourite of mine and my children's.
And what's Tūmeke Tui?
Oh, Tūmeke Tui is a beautiful kids' book written by Malcolm Clark and the artwork's all done by Phlox. And it's a story.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool. Check it out, guys. It's a great gift. It's one of my favourite things to give new babies coming into the world. So, yeah, it's another story that is about a tui and fish that they are two people that want to be friends that aren't from the same place and how maybe society, maybe I'm probably getting way too deep into this, but that they...
Mom, just read the book.
Just read the book.
I don't want to do a panel.
That they can't... they're not typically friends and it's just about them forging their way as friends and being able to, you know, connect together. So it's a cute little book.
Okay. You're watching a bit of TV with your husbands?
Yes.
Favourite shows at the moment?
Favourite show... The Good Place.
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
Are you up to date?
Yeah, I'm up to date.
We went to the end of season two. We've still got season three to go.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it just keeps nailing it.
How do you describe it to people without spoiling anything?
It's a satire. It's a bit ridiculous. All the characters are really over-exaggerated. But there's some themes that just hit home all the way through, and it's a laugh a minute, like you're just laughing the whole time. So I guess that's something that I really like is when you can laugh and you can be open, but you can be thinking about deeper meanings and things like that. So it's a great one.
Yeah, I can see why that's an appeal to you, given your current play, right?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't really connect that up until I was writing it last night. I was like, oh, yeah, I like that. I like that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's easy to take the medicine, too, when you're having a laugh at the same time.
This is right. So, you know, personally, I have had at times when I've felt quite hopeless about situations regarding my heritage and have gotten, I felt like quite beaten down and where I was feeling like I really needed to walk around with an armor on. So was somebody going to say something that I was going to have to school them on? And it's not the most fun place to walk around and be like...
And you don't realise if you don't get it yourself, but it's constant. And, you know, I've got a Māori friend who says that the other day she told me about something that had happened and I said, man, did it make you upset? And she goes, it just made me tired.
Exactly. You just get quite numb to it.
Yeah.
And it's like that Chinese drip, drip, one drip.
And,
that's a good question. So around Waitangi Day, I often get people talking to me, and it's great to have a conversation. But one thing this year someone said to me was, oh, what did they say? Oh, I don't even know why we've got this treaty. I mean, the Māori stole the land off the Moriori's anyway. And it was like, oh, now do I have to go through and, like, school you on the Treaty of Waitangi? Or am I, like... do I just leave that there and not actually connect? Or someone was saying something, when Jacinta Ardern had her baby and the middle name was Māori, and I walked into a conversation where they couldn't understand why she would give her baby a Māori name. And to me, there's so many reasons. It was a really respectful thing to do. They probably liked the name, but the fact that she was... the leader of a nation where Māori people are the Indigenous people was a beautiful, respectful thing to do, to give her child. And it was like, is Neve a, like, you know, a, where's the heritage of that?
And the mental energy of you having to decide whether to have an argument about it or whether to embark on this quite long conversation is... Not having to do that on a regular basis is a luxury that the rest of us should probably be thankful for.
That's right, absolutely. And I think, you know, I got to the point where I was kind of going around with my armour on and ready to go for it. And I just thought, I'm a naturally quite optimistic person, and I had lost a lot of that optimism, and I wanted to find it again. And I moved through that and... really realise that the way to do that is with comedy, you know, to like you say, open people up. People are less defensive when you say certain words. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you close people off to it. And for me, as people, we should just, you know, relate to each other. Lighten up, like have fun with each other and have conversations, put yourself in awkward situations and maybe not know all the answers. You know, I love learning. Tell me if I'm wrong.
We will get another song on for you. Would you prefer Etta James or Leon Bridges?
Oh,
or you could have Sam Cooke. You've got lots of good choices here.
Let's go for the Leon Bridges.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who is Leon Bridges?
Leon Bridges is basically the Sam Cooke of our generation, mm-hmm. our era. He's soulful and he's... Just listen to the song. It's beautiful.
Okay. It's called Coming Home.
Coming home to your tender, sweet loving, you're my one and only woman. The world needs a bitter taste in my mouth, girl. You're the only one that I wanna be around. Take in my mouth, girl, you're the only one that I want. Take in my mouth, girl, you're the only one that I want.
Leon Bridges, look him up if you want to hear some more. He really sounds like he'd come from any era, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kahurangi Kata is in studio for Bookmarks, telling us about a few of her favourite things. Tell me about your favourite movies.
I love Clueless. Oh, Shira, she's like an icon of my time.
Tell us about the premise of Clueless.
Clueless is a preppy girl and she goes to a high school in California, I think, and she's just, you know, a really lovely person who maybe is a little bit misunderstood, and she just wants everybody to get along and be happy.
Mm-hmm. And it's a silly movie.
It's a silly movie, but...
And yet,
there is these strong themes that run through it about self-discovery, being kind, because being kind is cool, guys, and if you didn't know, and... Yeah, it's a fun, it's lots of fun. Like, there's lots of laughs all the way through it. And I mean, I was a teenager when it came out, I think, so it really connected to me.
You've mentioned Aladdin here. Did you get to see Aladdin when it was here in Auckland?
I did.
Yeah, take the kids?
I took my daughter. We had a little date.
Yeah,
she loved it. She, I didn't know how she was taking it, but I think the first little bit, it was, we've watched the movie, the animated movie, so many times that she just couldn't believe the colours. And did you see it?
Yeah, I took my girls.
Did you? Yeah, and what did they think?
Yeah, they were, same thing, right? There is nothing like watching a full noise production, eyes, ears.
And I thought, wow. Of course this is an amazing stage show with all the colours and the costumes and the Cave of Wonders that was all gold. Mm. And then, of course, the flying carpet.
Yeah. Very impressive, that flying carpet.
I still cannot work out. I couldn't see any of the
ropes or strings.
I know. I Googled
wires.
It.
Did you Google it?
Yeah, and it's a mystery still. They kept that very
Maybe
well.
It was actually flying. Who knows?
Yeah, it was magic. And the genie character was so hilarious. So, again, a story of self-discovery, of coming from different places and then all coming together at the end and relating to each other. So, yeah, it was quite good writing down these what are my favourite things, because I saw that I do have strong themes going through there, and they do relate back to Aroha as a Māori, so, yeah.
Do you know what you want to do with the rest of your career?
Wow, that's a big question, Jesse. Yeah, I want to continue to tell stories that are personal to me, and one place I would really love to contribute to is a film festival in Canada called Imaginative. It's, as you might be able to tell from the title, an Indigenous film festival where a lot of artists that I really respect have taken their work. Yeah. We've got Renee Mahi, who has subsequently moved over there, took a short film there, and Todd Karihana, who's a up-and-coming, well, actually emerging or...
nascent.
Amazing filmmaker who took work there last year. So I think I'd just love to go and be in that space and contribute to the conversation and to stories from all around the world.
Yeah. Mm. You think like a short film?
Yeah. So I have a short film called Date Night, which is about a single mother. And it, again, is a feel-good kind of film that is still doing the festival rounds at the moment, so it hasn't been released yet, but that's something that I would like to do. I have a relatively short attention span, so I'm sort of move on to the next project and the next project. So, yeah, making another film. I have a few scripts rolling around. I also have a short residency coming up to where I can write another play. So that's going to be exciting. And, yeah, that one's called, oh, gosh, I've forgotten the name. Typical Māori is what it's called. So that's something we can all look forward to.
Love it. You went to the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah. It was such a lot, feels like a long time ago now. I was quite new in my acting career and I was able to go over with a feature film, an indie feature film that was I played a police officer, and it was quite a lovely thing being very naive about the whole film festival kind of circuit. We can all see that beautiful fashion and see the magazine articles about the Cannes Film Festival, but actually experiencing the marketplace and being there to help distribute a film, you realise people are so interested in the conversation, especially from a Native perspective. They're like, oh, your voice is underrepresented. What do you want to do? How can we help you say it? And there, I would be just chatting to people. There's a lot of parties that go on there, so it's a lot of networking and people just want to know what you're about. Give me your brief. And I was very surprised that people wanted to know who I was and what I was about. So it was a really fun experience, definitely.
Any tickets left for the play?
Ooh, we are sold out tonight. And, there's a few tickets left on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We are going to be opening another show, okay. A matinee.
Head to the internet to find out more. We'll put a link up. Aroha is a Māori, part of the Matariki season at Basement Theatre. Ka rangi kata, thanks.